has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma.
And looking forward to a good program tonight, and I'll sure let you know when your callers call in.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody back to Hope is Alive. Show about testimony, the show about those who have been set free, the show about glorifying God and helping those overcome. If you have any questions about deliverance, go to deliveranceusa.com, the well put together website. It has just about everything you need available there at the click of a mouse to overcome and cast out spirits and demons and training, prayers, everything you need. Or if you prefer a book, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Scriptures for America, Richard, at the office there at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and he'll definitely get it out to you. Pastor Cox, we had a little break, but here we are back again in the saddle, ready to go, and glad to hear from you.
It always feels good to be back in the saddle, Ralph.
Well, Pastor, I've got a testimony I want to share. I shared it with you. I got this sometime in between our last show, just given to me one morning. I get this message from somebody that I helped with deliverance, and she just sent this to me, and it just made my entire day that day. It says, "Hi, I thank God for you this morning. Just wanted to let you know how much you've helped me. I've been clean for a year. And, of course, there are times that I still think about getting high. Perish the thought really does work. I have been saying that quite a bit lately. I just wanted to say thank you for caring enough to take the time to help me. You are an amazing person. Thank you. The fact that you weren't afraid to share your story helped me more than you'll ever know. I hope you have a great day." And as Pastor always said, that's what feeds us. That's why we do these. That's why we come on and give these testimonies. And This was quite a deliverance for me when I had it. I won't go into too many details on it, but she had had heavy manifestations and was dealing with a strong drug addiction with methamphetamines. And come to find out, while I was doing deliverance, she was high on it. And we were able to get her past that, I had a head demon. And when she was able to renounce and repent of the drug use, was able to destroy it and get it out of her pocket and destroy it, and we threw it away. She was able to overcome at that point. I know she did struggle a little bit afterwards. I prayed for her often, and I've been thinking about her often. And I'm just glad that she sent this to me, because I know that the seeds of deliverance, the seeds of Jesus, were planted. I knew she had been clean, because I could tell from her social media posts the change in there. But it's just always glad to hear it.
That's so awesome. And yes, that's what drives us on. If we heard it never worked, well, certainly we'd have quit long ago. But it does work. And yes, it's testimonies. I love the testimonies. That's why we're doing this testimony show, amen. Because,
amen.
You know, people, they have different ideas from the gospel. Their doctrines of given churches here and there. And they'll argue this and argue that. But one thing about these testimonies, you can't argue them. You need to just praise the Lord that their life has changed. Amen. That's what keeps us going. Hallelujah.
Amen. And just to read that and hear that, I've been clean for a year. And unless you've dealt with addiction yourself or have family members that held with it, and it's a very rare person who does not have some degree of experience with it. These drugs that are in our community, especially the methamphetamines and the opiates, they're not an easy thing to kick. And the truth is, very, very few people find any relief from it outside of Jesus. All the programs that I see that work are Christ-centered. And so it's just, if you know somebody out there that's dealing with addiction, it is definitely running rampant in my community. Been a lot of deaths of it recently. We'd had in a little town as far as cities go in Springfield, three weekends ago, 40 overdoses in one weekend.
Wow.
40 overdoses. And,
bad.
And about 20 of those resulted in death. As I talked about a few weeks back, a couple months ago, I lost my nephew to it. And unfortunately, his best friend, who I had met at the funeral, passed away from a drug overdose this last weekend. And,
oh, no.
It's really attacking our communities. But I do have faith. I do have hope. Because when I see a text like that, knowing that you can overcome with Jesus, and not only does it help overcome, it gives you the tools to stay free. And that's why I love this process that Pastor has put together, and not just him, but those that have worked with deliverance ministries over the year. And I know that Parish of Thought come from, I believe, Brother Jim, and, you know, just different bodies of the Christ, different parts of the body coming together and working together. So the tools are there. And that Parish of Thought is so, so important. If you're someone who struggles with just any kind of depression, addiction, whether it happens to be through drugs, food, pornography, anything like that, this Parish of Thought works. Parish of Thought, I believe, is at the website. If it's not, then definitely get a hold of one of us.
We it's under it four you. Commands. Under four
okay.
commands to the enemy.
I thought it was there. And use it, because Pastor, I haven't heard anyone says, it doesn't work.
Well,
every testimony I have, wow.
It works if
wow.
you work it.
Yes, wow. When you apply it, it works. And it is an important tool, and it's good for that person to get to that point of deliverance, but it's absolutely excellent once you go through deliverance to keep the enemy from coming back in there. And that way, that as well as the IAMs. The IAMs and Parish Spot are probably the two biggest tools that we have available to help someone once they have deliverance to stay free.
Yes. And you know what you're talking about, Ralph, and the drugs and all. The Jesus way is the easy way.
It is.
Imagine getting overhauled many times in one evening. In one evening. And it's right under people's noses, but so few know about it. But we're doing what we can. And it does seem to be spreading out more than it ever has on the good news of this works of Jesus and how they can truly be set free and healed.
And they can. And just because somebody happens to go through deliverance, maybe under the influence of something, Jesus can cause that that drug to come right out of them. And using us to command it as well, we can command, just as we can command cancer to come out of somebody, just as we can command a sickness to come out of somebody, we can focus on that person who's under influence of whether it may be a heroin or alcohol or methamphetamines. We have that authority and we have that power to command that to come out of them and command their body.
And break assignments.
Yes,
a lot of people are under satanic assignments, and that's easy to break since we have all power, Luke 10:19. Just a matter of breaking assignments and commanding the demons of the assignments to go.
Yes, and I know, Pastor, that you had done that video years ago where that man was there, and was he on cocaine at the time? Was that what it was?
It was in 1985.
Yes. I don't remember all the details. You can share that with us. But this man came for deliverance, and he was high on cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was set free. He was set free, and they have video proof of that, video testimony of that deliverance.
Well, as far as the demons go, you know, we're speaking directly to them. Now, to do all the steps and to take them through, you know, the steps we like to do, the person needs to engage. But nevertheless, we can address assignments anytime and break those. And even if someone's on drugs, we can speak directly to the demons and command them to come out. Breaking the assignments, commanding the demons of the assignments to go, whatever it is, alcohol or drugs, etc.
And don't believe the lie for 1 minute that those that are on these drugs are 100% there because they want to be. There are very few addicts that are happy with their life. Very few addicts are happy with what they're doing and want to escape, but they just don't know how. And so that's where we need to be, in my opinion on this, need to be a little bit more gentle and caring and understanding than we should be just judging the person and say, well, they're getting what they deserve. Because it is definitely it's a curse upon this country. But the good news is we have all power and authority over it. And I'm going to continue in faith with my prayers that it's going to be destroyed in my community and that the anointing destroys the yoke. And we will see this this dry up. It'll just dry up. I believe that it will. Praise God. Well, Pastor,
amen.
Got any updates on this Monday?
Oh, well, we had 11 cases, had a minister for each, and I ministered to a man that drove from San Antonio, and it was a basic deliverance. I could not get the head demon up, but one amazing thing about his ministry session, when I got to the limb check, and in fact, he had had a motorcycle accident years ago, and he showed me his left leg, how it was discolored and all. And so when we moved into the limb check, and I picked up his shoes, much to my astonishment, his left leg was a good 2 inches short. And, you know, we see them a half inch, inch, pretty commonly. But 2 inches, I haven't seen one in a while. I have seen up to 3 inches. But this one was a good 2 inches. Had a couple of trainees sitting in with me. And as I dressed it in Jesus' name, commanding it to come out, it came out part way and then quit. And of course, that's the tip off to the minister to look up to the person and say, who else do you need to forgive? Well, he came up with some more names. The leg, short leg, came out a little more. Same deal. Who else do you need to forgive? He said, I think I need to forgive so-and-so. So he did that, and praise God, the leg finally came all the way out. Good 2 inches while we watch. That's adjustment that people get as chiropractors. Well, our Jesus will do it while we watch.
Praise God. That's awesome. Pastor, we have Christy with us. Christy, thank you for calling this evening.
Good evening.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Everett.
So glad you called in. It's Ralph there with me up in the Branson area. Excited to have you on the show tonight. So why don't you go ahead and give some background on yourself, Christy, and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and then the experiences you've had. I know you've had quite a few, and the changes you've seen in your life. So go right ahead.
That's right. I don't think your program is long enough, but I'll give a little snippet here this evening. Okay. Well, I was born again in sixth grade. I was 12 years old, and I remember I was at a youth group at an Assembly of God church, and boy, I felt something inside, and I fought it, and I fought, and finally, I remember saying, okay, fine, I give in. I remember fighting it, and I finally gave in. I said, okay, all right, let's see what this is about. And there's a lady praying over me, and I remember even fighting her when she was laying hands on me, still just fighting it. And then I finally just started sobbing. I just started sobbing, and I broke.
Wow.
I said, okay, here we go. Let's see what this is about. And then I always felt Holy Spirit. I didn't know. I didn't have a name. Didn't have a name for him, but I always felt something within me. And as a matter of fact, I always said it was my Jiminy Cricket because I didn't know what to call it. And something always telling me that there was a higher calling for my life. All the pain that I'd gone through that I could remember, because most of my childhood I do not have any memories. Every once in a while I'll have one, but for the most part I don't have any memories of my childhood. And then just as I got older, I went through a lot of grief, a lot of pain. Actually, I'm in my mid-40s. I've been married and divorced 5 times, 3 children, different fathers, and abuse, a lot of mental, emotional, physical abuse over the years. And I never lost faith. I never lost faith, no matter how hard it got. I knew there was a God, and I knew I had a higher calling. I knew something was coming against me this hard because I had such a high calling. I knew it, but I didn't know how to be set free. I've gone to hours and hours of classes on inner healing and deliverance, hours of training. I knew the Lord has shown me visions of setting the captives free. He's shown me in armor, beaten and bruised, and I'm walking in these prisons. And he tells me, what you carry will set the captives free. What you've been through, the pressing and the oil that you now carry, it's going to set you free. It's going to set you free. It's going to set the others free. So I kept pressing in. I kept pressing in. I don't know how many times the enemy has tried to take my life. Many times I've found myself just on my face, just saying, they win. They win, they can have me. They can have me. Even as the week before I came to the deliverance ministries with Everett Cox, I had given up. I had texted my fiance and my middle daughter. And I said, I'm numb, I have no emotion, I'm finished. They can have me. I can't go on. Everybody, you're better off without me. All of you are. And I've been to this place so many times, that nobody knew but a handful of people because I knew they would think I was crazy. If they knew I heard voices in my head telling me to take my life, and all the voices I heard all the time that I thought was Christy all this time, they would say I was crazy and they would put me in a mental institute. And my youngest daughter would be taken away, and that was my worst fear. My worst fear. So I just kept it to myself, telling only a couple of people that I trusted. And then on September 28th, I had been having what we thought were seizures. My fiancé had taken me to the emergency room thinking I had seizures. But they did all the testing. They said, you're healthy. We can't find anything. You're dehydrated a little bit because I had just gone on a long bike ride. But they said, we can't find anything wrong with you. Well, it happened again on September 28th. And I was here at home, and my fiancé came over, and I started seizing again. And then the demons were manifesting. And we looked at each other, and we made eye contact, and we said, we know what's going on now. We know. And he went home, and he got a cross, some essential oil, I believe it was, some sacred frankincense. And I was on the sofa just manifesting. I felt my hands come up trying to claw my face and him, my body, legs, arms, everything was coming up. I could not control them at all. I heard voices coming out of me. I heard an ancient tongue, it sounded maybe Chinese, coming out of me. And I was hearing, she's mine. She's mine. We're going to kill her. She's mine. And I know he was praying. I remember him praying. It's like I was there. I was in there. Christy was in there, but the demons were stronger. I could not stop them from manifesting. My teeth were gnashing. My face was distorting. I could feel it. And Christy was down deep. And I was fighting. I know I was fighting, and I was trying to overcome them. I know I was doing that. I know I was fighting to overcome it and speak the truth to myself while he was praying over me. And they told him, they said, they laughed at him, and they said, you're weak. You're not strong enough. We're stronger than you. We're stronger than you. And I know I had received some deliverance because I felt better. I felt better. I came out of it. I felt better. And I looked completely different. I did not even look like myself at all. I looked completely different. I felt peace for the first time. I felt peace, and I felt that I had sound mind. I was a sound mind. And then by the next day, I felt like they'd all come back. And we were back where we had started. And I didn't know what to do. And he just started, my fiancé just started praying. And he just said, Lord, you have to give me something. I don't know what to do within myself. And he was led to Everett Cox at Deliverance Ministries. And he emailed him immediately. And we went to the next Monday night session for deliverance.
Wow.
And we had had a huge fight right before we went in. The enemy did everything in his power to get us not to go that night. We almost turned the car around and went home minutes before it began.
So what? Your parents. So go ahead from there, Christy.
And I met with Susan. I did the opening, or closing, did the closing of the doors, prayer, and I participated. I felt the Holy Spirit. He and I had forgiven each other. We were on good terms again. And then we separated. I went upstairs. I met with Susan. Immediately when Susan and I started, demons oppressed me again. I know I cannot be possessed. They oppressed me again. A wall went up. We couldn't get through it. I had no emotion. None. I was stoic. I could not see Jesus when we were trying to do the inner healing. I was repeating the words after her, just being obedient and hoping something would happen just by me repeating after her. We were there for hours till 11:30. I was the last one there. And we left, and I remember just feeling very disappointed when I left, thinking, what happened? I thought this was the answer. What happened? And my fiance had an amazing session, so I was thrilled for him. That was wonderful. I pray for him to have strength all the time. He needs strength to be able to walk out this journey with me. Praise God. I'm so thankful for him. And the Everett called, and he said, I'm so sorry. You guys have just got your email. I'd love to meet with you. And so we went in and we saw him on the 25th. We began our ministry and immediately found out we had co-leaders. There were two. We had Beelzebub and Demon of Satan. And they each had many, many demons under each of them. Some because of doors I had opened. Several were generational. We had several because of molestations whenever I was younger, rape as an adult. And there was a lot. I'm able to see, and I could see the darkness. There was a little bit of light on the edges, and the rest was just full of darkness. It was just black. And then I could actually see the demons as Everett would speak to them and bind them. I could see them bound with chains and walking out. And I had no fear. I was ready for them to go, very ready for them to go. I saw the angels when Everett called on the angels, and Beelzebub did most of the speaking. And when he was asked about the angels, he said, you know, how many are there? And he said, numerous. And he said, do you see them all around you? And he said, yes. I see Michael right in front of me. So we weren't messing around. We called in the big guns, and we meant business.
Amen.
We meant business.
When Michael's there at the decided edge,
yes,
intimidates the demons real quick. But go right ahead. You're doing good.
Yes, I felt very safe. I was ready. I was ready. So we began Everett began speaking to them and commanding information from them. And when they would not answer, or when they would be too slow, he would just have one of the angels come up to them and thrust them with the sword several times to make them speak, and they would. They would. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing? God's word is true. Imagine that. His word tells us that we can call on the angels. I did not know that we could do that. I did not know that we had that authority. And now I know. We have the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus Christ. And now I do it every day, all day long, actually. All day long, now that I know I have that. So we begin, and as we're casting them out, Everett begins to ask about the lies, all of the lies. And I remember just sobbing as they start speaking the lies, because all this time I thought they were the truth. And I knew in God's word that he says the truth will set you free. Well, I thought I knew the truth, but I didn't. I was being deceived. And there were several assignments out on me for my life. And I'm reading through them right now, actually. Death, early death, early physical death, death to relationships. You're unworthy to be loved by your children or any man. men will always lie to you and cheat on you. You will always be alone, and you will always be beneath others. You will not succeed in business or ministry. You are not worthy to be chosen. You are not worthy. Many others. Well, then we began asking about the gifts. And I only remember a little bit of this, but Everett wrote everything down, and he had Beelzebub. Everett, you have to help me out with this. I think you said stick his head into my storeroom of gifts. Is that how you say that?
Well, I just commanded the demon to stick his head in the storehouse of God-given gifts. We were using Beelzebub as the spokesman at that point, and to call out the gifts. And it started calling them out, and I wrote them down, and I about ran out of paper, I remember.
Yes, sir.
You were loaded
you
with
did.
Gifts.
You were writing on the sides of the paper. Know. There are so many here. And I could see Beelzebub. I saw half of his being looking into a storeroom that it was amazing. It was so vast. And I couldn't see anything specific. I just remember seeing it was just shining and bright, like sparkle jewels. It was absolutely beautiful. And I remember he kept trying to come out. He didn't like being in there. And he'd try to back out. And you'd have him go back in and you'd say, tell me another one. Tell me another one. And it's really amazing, this list that I'm looking over here. Well, let's see here. Where would I even begin? Some of the gifts. Healer, prophet, long life, the Elijah anointing. Elijah Mantle. Let's see, you will tread on serpents and scorpions, death to demonic strongholds. You're a mighty end time warrior, restorer, shepherd, and teacher. You will open your mouth wide, and Christ will fill it. Many jewels in her crown, your daughter of the King. You have kingdom assignments, a marriage ministry and a deliverance ministry that are mighty. You will free the captive from the prison. You will restore kingdom families. You will have kingdom wealth, health, and wholeness. You will have accurate prophecies. Many, many, many on here. But I could just go on. There are so many here.
Well, you could go on for probably a quarter of an hour on the rest of them. Well, summing up, we're about out of time. How is your life now after the deliverance and we blew those things away? Could you see an immediate change?
Yes, immediate change whenever I left your office. Immediate. And I wasn't sure what to expect, and that evening I began to have more attacks, and each day I continued to, and then I went back over my notes, and I read your book in about 3 days, and I just started reading everything, and I thought, okay, you know what, Christy, these tools are going to do you no good sitting in your tool belt. You have to get them out, you have to claim who you are in Christ, and you have to start to fight.
Praise God.
Had given me a vision of going into war, and he showed me I had blueprints of how to fight and that they were coming, and I now have those blueprints, and I can see them, and I know how to fight.
Yes, and Ralph, I know you're listening. When George calls in, you might just hold there a little bit. I'd like to finish with Christy on something very interesting. You had had ongoing abuse, Christy, for many years as a child, and that's a key to the ministers, that there can be multiple personalities or protectors, as they're often called. It's in the last chapter of my book. in my book there on ministering, sometimes called, well, in the secular world, dissociative identity disorder. But it's a God-given mechanism that kicks in during sexual abuse so the child can cope. But as a person grows older, then those multiples, you know, as an adult even, those multiple personalities or protectors will tend to surface and cause disruption, etc. Anyway, we got hold of those. I was able to communicate after the deliverance. These are not demons, of course, but part of the person. And I got hold of the oldest one. That was Alex, wasn't it?
We had four, and the oldest was Virgil. He said his name was Virgil, and he was 9. And then we had three females, two that were 7 years old, and then we had a little one who was 2 years old. So we had four, and I'm familiar with DID, but I had no idea that this was something going on with me. I had no idea until you started asking about protectors. And then as you said that again, I'm a seer. I saw four children beings. They were bright in white clothing, gowns. And they all came present right in front of me as my eyes were closed, all four of them. And then Virgil rises up, and he's the one that spoke to you a little bit. And then
yes,
I saw Jesus in a field. And under a tree, and all four went over there to Jesus, and they began talking to him and accepted him into their hearts. They just fell in love with him. Who wouldn't? They just fell in love with him. And whenever they came back to me, you asked if they were ready to integrate, basically, if they saw the white light and the Holy Spirit within me. And they said yes. They said yes, and we thanked them for loving me and protecting me. We told them goodbye. And the one of the 7-year-old girls picked up the 2-year-old baby girl and carried her, and all four walked into the light and integrated back in so that I can be whole, which is what Jesus desires, is for us all to be whole. And now I am.
Yes.
Praise God. Now I am.
There you are. The whole you, praise God, delivered.
Yes.
The whole you. Hallelujah.
Whole me.
Well, that's so awesome. Well, that's our Jesus setting the captives free. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for sharing all that. And our next caller is standing by.
You are welcome. Thank you, Everett.
God bless you.
I'm so thankful for you and your ministry.
Have a good evening.
I bless you guys. I bless you. Bless you. I bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a description. It's so neat when people are sensitive enough to see things, to be able to come and give their testimonies. That's just, wow. That's awesome. Well, Pastor, we do have George with us. George, thank you for calling this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. My pleasure.
Hi, George. Great to have you aboard.
Hello, Pastor Everett Cox. Yes, it's good to be here.
Why don't you go ahead, George, and give some background or history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance, and then what experiences you've had in your deliverance, any changes, and any other experiences. So go right ahead.
It's been a long ride, I'll tell you. It's been a long ride. But the a little history on myself. I was born into a Catholic family, religion. Everybody was 100%. I'm first generation into the United States, is what I am. Anyway, I was baptized as a child. There, I've always had a Jesus connection, and, you know, I knew who Jesus Christ was. I was born reciting the Lord's Prayer. Throughout my entire life, I actually taught that to my kids also, and etc., etc. And the anyway, I was born without a father, a single mother, you know, moved into a lot of homes. I've always struggled with, the point is that it seems like all these homes we moved into, for some odd reason, there was always demons in these homes. I mean, which I understand now, but back then we call them ghosts, you know? And so, and mm-hmm. sometimes you'd make fun of them, sometimes you would do this or do whatever, or leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. I mean, that's kind of how we grew up. And,
wow.
Yeah, so I was, so very experienced. I can't tell you how many homes that we actually moved into. And, you know, I would have these dreams that, you know, as growing up as a child, that, you know, that I would actually fly. It would be elevation. These dreams felt really, really good. But then on the other hand, I would also have these dreams where dark forces were always trying to pull me into death, and I would wake up screaming. And that was true as of this year also. You know, many times. And there always seems to be some kind of battle. And as I was growing up, I never really understood the spiritual world, you know, because I grew up basically reciting everything. About 7 years old or so, somewhere around that area, I was left alone at home. And I never had asthma, but I had this huge asthma attack where I could not catch my breath. And I could not catch it. I was barely able to get the words out, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, please save me, you know, please heal me. And immediately I was healed. The asthma attack stopped, and it blew me away as a child. And I grew up in East LA, you know, of course, it was very gang-ridden out there, and I've always had the spirit where people were always attracted to me somehow or another. And somewhere around the age of, 4 or 5 years old, my mom was walking with myself and my sister, and anyway, this lady happened to appear to her and said, your children will always be protected. Oh, and somehow or another, she disappeared. My mom inquired about her. No one ever saw her. She tried to describe her. No one ever saw her. Right. Very strange. But I always felt that way. Felt that I was never alone. I never understood why. At the age of 12, we had all the neighborhood kids. We're right in the middle, which, you know, back then we would call the barrio, or we would actually call the neighborhood, you know. We were out there playing the street. That's what you did. And this guy, you know, comes up in his white van. His name was John. And he was a white boy. And so he got out of the car, and or the van, and he instructs, hey, you guys know Jesus Christ? Oh, sure, we know who Jesus is. Okay, great, you know. Hey, how would you like to get to know him better? You know, we have fun. Come over to Teen Club. So he was with the Salvation Army at that time. And so he rounded up the kids, and he'd come pick us up every week to come teach us about Jesus Christ. That was about the first time that I was able to get all my questions answered. I got to know the apostles, who they were, you know, why they were here, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so it was real basic information, but I learned more than I ever have. You know, and at that time I was saved. I ended up giving my heart to Jesus Christ about the age of 12. And I went on. I've always wanted to be a pilot in the Air Force. I know Pastor Everett Cox talked about everything he did. You know, I did a lot of the similar things. I flew jets. You know, I dove. Just did every activity out there, skiing, you know, traveled the world with my son. And so I have done all that. It's been a great ride, but throughout this ride, I've always had this spiritual side of me that I never really understood. And back in college, my friend and I, Rich, you know, we were out at a bar one time, and these guys were beating up on a girl, and we said, hey, let's go rescue her. And we ended up going up to these guys out in the parking lot and said, what are you guys doing? You need to stop. these guys come up to us and they look at us with these glaring eyes and said, do not get involved. You have no idea what you're messing with. And for some odd reason, our hair just went up in the air, and we just felt something very, very strong, where we just stepped away and said, wow, that is weird. That is strange. Those weren't exactly what I'm going to say, fighting words in the physical. There were more, something that was more deeper than that, which we didn't understand, but it's never left our mind. And anyway, during the Air Force there, ended up getting married. That's what I ended up doing. And the just before marriage, of course, you know, we got pregnant, had no idea what was going on, and ended up having an abortion. Worst, it had bothered me ever since. It has haunted me. And I'm going to leave that question of why I ended up in Deliverance Ministries and where I have forgiven myself and there was forgiveness there. But it is something that has never left me. And but anyway, to go on forward from there, I ended up joining a little church, Brother Jack. I will never forget this. And this man started teaching me about spirituality. I never knew anything about tongues. They started talking in tongues out there. And all of a sudden, I picked up the Bible. They invited me up to the pulpit. Everything I did, jobs, everything, I always rose to the top. I always rose. And they invited me to the pulpit to go ahead and speak the opening message every Sunday morning. And I started learning about the spiritual world, but I didn't know what to do with it. It was a scary, scary place. Well, it wasn't within a year before Brother Jack started coming out and saying, these dark forces are in front of my house. They're in my gate. I can see them. He felt alone. I mean, he felt like people were calling him crazy. I was trying to understand, going, God, I understand what you're saying. I can relate to you. I've had this my entire life. I finally find somebody that I can talk to that will not call me crazy. And within a year, the man says, I can't do this anymore. I have to retire. And at that point, everything that I learned from him, I left. I said, well, maybe I can continue this on my own. I couldn't do it on my own anymore. There was nobody out there that I can talk to without them telling me, you're a nut. You have no idea what you're seeing. Oh, you're just seeing things, et cetera, et cetera. And I shoved it all under the carpet, what I ended up doing. The, you know, had two wonderful children, the greatest thing in the world to me, and grandchildren now, but throughout the time, I had no idea what I was married to. And control, narcissism, et cetera, but I had no idea. I had no idea, because all of a sudden, although I had three businesses, had a lot of success, I was always kept from doing what I did best. And the somewhere around 2012, my body started going into convulsions. And just to make a long story short there, the Holy Spirit, something was telling me, something is going on, George, and I had no idea what was going on. My body was shaking uncontrollably. I wasn't sick. But that week, and this went on for about 2 days, and that week I found out that there was an affair in my life. Everything about that was destroyed for the, you know, God. All the voices came saying, I didn't want to be here anymore. I wanted to die. I just didn't want to be here anymore. Depression. Everything hit. And what kept me alive, of course, was my children. They wanted to stay with me. They believed in me at that time. My son was, oh gosh, how old was he? 12, 13? I mean, and the, so anyway, so this, God, I committed to God, and God told me, George, be patient. I committed to celibacy for 5 years. At 4 and a half, I thought that he had released me, and I met a lady, and he had not. I made a mistake. 6 months later, after that, I ended up meeting another young lady, and God said, this is the person. I had to make a U-turn. I said, I don't understand, but this person I met was a very, very special person. God said, this is who I had for you. Should have waited. You know, I had to ask for forgiveness. Anyway, and but the battles I fought throughout that time were extreme. Were very, very, very extreme. Demonic attacks. All the words that I would hear, you're worthless, you can't do this, you do that. They're just lies, lies upon lies upon lies. And I just kept fighting those every single day. Every single day. And so this went on for a while there. And
We're down to about 5-6 minutes left, George, so it's kind of time. And how did you do when you finally came to deliverance? How did you hear about deliverance?
Well, this young lady I met, you know, so she brought me back out here. I met somebody that was just unbelievable. I was able to talk to her, and we started talking about spirituality. We dug deep, and all of a sudden we had this connection, and God just kept supernaturally showing us things, you know. And even when we were apart, we would say something, she would say something, something would show up in church, and we would know days ahead of time. It was great. But for some odd reason, she always was attacked, and I couldn't understand that. I could not understand. She didn't come with the playbook. And what led me to deliverance here is we had tried everything in the world. And she came where the spirits actually manifested in her. And I didn't know what to do with them. I had no idea. I wasn't strong enough. I backed up. And I said, I need to take time out here.
What?
God said, George, this is what you do best.
George,
is bring the masses together to help this person out.
What about your deliverance? How about your deliverance, George? We're just 3 or 4 minutes left. What was your deliverance?
And my deliverance, actually, when I showed up there at Deliverance Ministries, so I ended up doing, met with a wonderful man named Chuck. But during the opening prayer, which is the closing prayer, while there, I felt like I was being delivered while I was there. I kept yawning and taking these spirits out. So when I finally saw Chuck upstairs, I felt at much peace. We went through my entire list that I had wrote, everything that I had experienced, and Chuck was talking to me, and I was talking to him, and I was being delivered. I felt at such peace. There are things that I talked to Chuck about that I have never talked to anybody before. And I ended up, when I came out of there at the end of the night, it changed my life. Completely changed my life. Procrastination went out the door. The abortion, everything, the thoughts. I was ADD. Things are more clear to me. I don't have that dark cloud anymore. It's was completely healed from all that.
Praise God. Oh, awesome. And did you have the limb checked? Did you have a short leg or anything? How was that?
No. Actually, yes, I did the first time around. Yes, I was a little short there. And he goes, man, there's one more forgiveness you have to do. And I dug deep and I said, okay, what is that? And I explained that to him. And sure enough, as we forgave that, and I forgave myself, I straightened out.
Hallelujah. Yeah, and unforgiveness will block. And did you already have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues?
Yes. Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, during my time of celibacy there, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I began speaking in tongues. Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, it sounds to me like, George, you've gotten the Jesus overhaul.
I did. As I said, it's been one wild ride, and I know God has a lot of special plans for myself and my fiance, and we are looking forward to it. Everything is happening. Business is growing. I mean, it's the procrastination part of that was very strong in me, the spirit of procrastination. And, now I'm just hitting it hard.
Well, thank you, brother. Any last quick comments on what you tell the people before we sign off?
Yes. Believe. I always say believe, faith. You know, God took me back to Hebrews over there where even when I felt alone, the Father was my guide. He was my teacher. He was my Father. And one thing that I did learn from Pastor Everett Cox, I need to learn how to shoot. If these things are coming after you, and what I've seen with my eyes, you've got to learn how to shoot. And Pastor Cox, in his book that I am reading, has everything in there that will teach you how to shoot.
And that speaking in Jesus' name is how we pull the trigger. Well, thank you
Amen.
So much, Richard.
Always
your
in
blessing.
Jesus' name. That's
a
exactly
right.
Testimony. Yes,
we're
sir.
Out
thank
of time.
You.
Thank you again. God bless you, brother.
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Cox. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You know, he said, I started discussing things I'd never talked to anybody before. I've heard that several times taken through someone's deliverance. They'll say, you know, I've never mentioned this. I can't believe I'm saying it. And I think when those doors are closed, that whatever was preventing them from speaking about it, whatever was preventing them for bringing it before, whatever, maybe it needed to be repented, maybe it needed to be, someone needed to be forgiven, that issue definitely needed to be dealt. It needed to be dealt with. And I've thought about that sometime. It brought it back to me. But I really think the door closing prayer allows people to address those issues because it closes the doors on so many spirits and so many issues that kept them from even wanting to bring it up. So, two wonderful testimonies. George is correct. Pastor's book that he has written, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, does teach you how to shoot. Well, the Bible teaches you how to shoot. He takes the scriptures and applies it and shows it in a way where it's very, very effective. And if you need that book, call Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. But we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. Two fantastic testimonies. And Pastor, I'll be looking forward to seeing you next week. And God bless everybody. And thank you for joining us.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority.